The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Bo. In Parsha's Bo, we have the last three of the Eser Makis, the Arbe, the Locust, the Cheshif, the Darkness, and the Makis Becheres, the Smiting of the Firstborn. There's quite a few psukim throughout the Parsha which refer to the Makis Becheres, the Smiting of the Firstborn, and let's learn through these psukim and see what we can learn from them this evening. In Shmos Yud, Pasuchov Dalad, this is after the Makas Cheshich, Vayikra Para El Maisha, Vayeme, Luhu Ibdu As Hashem, Raksainchem, Vakarchem, Yutzog, Gam Tabchem, Yelech Imochem. That Para called to Maisha after the darkness, and he says, all right, go serve your God, but go yourself. Raksainchem, Vakarchem, Yutzog, but the sheep and the cattle, they must stay here. Children you can take. Vayeme Maisha, see, Para consistently was weakening. Originally he said that I'm not going to let you go at all. Then he said, I'll let you go alone. Now he said, all right, the children, but not the cattle and the sheep. Meisha said, not only will we take all our sheep and cattle, but you'll give us also. We will not leave one thing here, because we have to take everything with us. We don't know what we'll need when it comes to serve Hashem. The Almighty strengthened the heart, hardened the heart of Pare, and Pare did not allow them to go. Now Pare said to Meisha, go away from him, go away from my presence. He said, be careful, guard yourself, do not come into my presence again. Because on the day that I see you again, you shall die. This is what Pare told Meisha. So in other words, Pare was getting very impatient. He had enough. So Meisha said, that what you said is correct. After today, you will never see me again. Now Hashem said to Meisha, "Ein nege echod avi al Pare val Mitzrayim. I will bring one more plague on Pare and Mitzrayim. Achrechein yishalach eschem izeh. And afterwards they will send you out from here. Shalche kol agorish yigorish eschem izeh. They will send you out completely. Then Hashem, before bringing this last makkah, he gave Meisha a tzivu, he gave him a command. Daber nobi ozne om, speak into the ears of the nation. Vishalu ish me Yisraehu, v'isho me Yisrusa, klei kesev klei zov. And go, every person, every man should go to his man friend, and every woman should go to her woman friend, the Egyptians, and take from them, ask from them silver vessels, golden vessels, and Hashem will give the chen. He will give the favor of the nation in the eyes of Egypt that they will give. And Meisha also was of tremendous stature in Egypt, in the eyes of the servants of Pare and in the eyes of the nation. Now the reason why Hashem gave this sivu here, because this was going to be the last plague, and when this plague would come, Pare immediately would want the people to leave, would chase the people out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the people should go out with a great wealth, so therefore he commanded them before this, go and ask all of your Egyptian friends for golden and silver kelim, they asked for precious garments also, in order that you should go out berechus godol with a great wealth. Because Chazal tell us that it was during the 3 days of the cheshich, during the 3 days of the darkness, that they would. It was dark to the Egyptians, but it was light to the Hebrews, that they were able to go into the Egyptian houses and see exactly what they had and where they kept it. In case the people would say that, "I don't have any," they would know what to answer. The question here is asked, though, why does it say, "Daber no biosneom"? Please speak to the people and tell them to take gold and silver utensils. Why, please? Kodesh Baruch Hu here was beseeching Moshe to make sure the nation does this. Now, this seems odd, because this is a mitzvah which was very easily fulfilled. If you tell people, go and take from the spoils of Egypt, so what's so difficult? And they had it coming. They deserved it. They worked for 210 years or whatever the number was. They were in Egypt and they worked for Paray and for the Egyptians for nothing. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to say, "Daber no"? Say, please. So Rashi brings the Gemara in Masechet Brachos. The Gemara says, and Daf Tes, Seif Amar Aleph, Amri Debei Rabbi Yannai, Ein No Ela Loshin Bakosho. No means that Hashem beseeched them. Omele HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Bevakosho Mimecho. Please, Lech Ve'emo Lehem Yisrael Bevakosho Mikem. Go and please ask Israel to fulfill this request. Shol B'Mitzrayim Kli Kesev Et Chizov, to ask from the Egyptians for gold and silver Kli Kelim. Sheleyeim HaReish Et Tzadik. Because that righteous person, that's Avraham, I came to him, this was many years ago, this was 430 years before this, and I said, V'inu gere yisem be'eretz leilehem, that your children will be strangers in a foreign land, V'inu v'avodum v'inu isom, they will be enslaved and they will be afflicted. And then I told him, V'achrechein yeitzu b'rechush gadol, I shall judge this nation, and they will go out with great riches. So I don't want Avraham to say, I don't want Avraham to think that I'm not fulfilling my promise. He'll say that you fulfilled the prophecy that they were enslaved and afflicted, but you didn't fulfill the prophecy that they went out with such great wealth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like people to think that what he says is not totally true. So therefore, please see that the people take this wealth in order that the prophecy, the promise, shall be fulfilled to Avraham. But still it doesn't answer the question, why did he have to pressure the people to do this? So the Gemara brings Omru Lei, when Klal Yisrael heard this, they said, "Halavai, we should go out with our bodies alone. Don't talk to us about riches. We'll be satisfied if we get out of this place alone." An example of a person who was thrown into the dungeon. Some people came to him, and after a long time in the dungeon, they told him that tomorrow we're going to take you out of here, and we're going to give you great wealth. Aimelahem, what does he say? Bevakosho mikem haitziuni hayem, ve'eni mevakish klum. You want to do me a favor to take me out of here today, and don't talk about any money. I'll be happy if I get out of here alive. So the Teira Tamima says the reason why the Gemara is bringing this example to explain what we're asking. Why was it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to beseech from the people to go and take the spoils? They were in Egypt so long, and they had so many problems and so much affliction, that when Moshe started to talk to them about great riches, they said, "Levai shenetze be'atzmeinu." Don't talk to us about riches. If we'll get out of here alive, that'll be sufficient. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pressured him. He said, "Daber no bevakasho, please, Moshe, see that they don't go out empty-handed, but they go and take all of these spoils in order that my promises to Abraham will be fulfilled." There's another Gemara in Masechet Brachos. This is on Lamed Beis, Omer Aleph. That when they were on Har Sinai and they received the Torah, and then they worshipped the golden calf. So the Gemara says it's the same with Rabbi Yannai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Israel. So Moshe told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, "Ribeinu shel olam, kesef v'zehav shehishpatu aleihem gormu lehem. Vayishmon yishurin vayivot." He says, it's not their fault. It's your fault. Because all of the gold and silver that you gave them, this is what caused them to go make a golden calf. So it's not their fault, it's your fault. So, and this is the same with Rabbi Yannai. So the Teira Tamima explains further. Because really they didn't want the money. They were happy to go out without any money, without any gold and silver. You were the one who pressured them into taking it. So now you cannot have complaints against them that they went and they made a golden calf. This was your gold and silver. This is what Moshe told HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the psukim continue. Vayema Moshe. Moshe said, "Kayamar Hashem. This is what Hashem has said. Kachatzeisa lailo ani yeitze b'seich mitzroim. At approximately midnight, I will go through Egypt." Now, here is the warning for the tenth plague. Rashi tells us, Moshe is telling this to Pare. Rashi explains that this has to take place at the same time. At the same time that he's standing in front of Pare. Because Pare had already told him. He says, "Don't come back to me. If you come back to me again, I'll kill you." And Moshe said, "Yes, after today you won't see me again." So therefore this must be taking place at the very same time. Kayamar Hashem, this is what Hashem has said, Kachatzeisa lailo ani yeitze b'seich mitzroim. That approximately midnight, I will come through Egypt. There's a Chazal, the sages tell us, notice that this plague was prophesied with the words Kei Omar Hashem. Kei means "so said Hashem." Chazal tell us, "Kol anaviim misnabdim b'kei Omar Hashem." All of the prophets prophesied with the word Kei Omar Hashem, which means this is "so said Hashem." But Moshe, who was greater than all of the other prophets, he used another phrase. And this is in Parshas Matos. Right at the beginning of Parshas Matos. "Zeh hadovar asher tziva Hashem." This is what Hashem has commanded. Now what's the difference between Kei Omar Hashem and "Zeh hadovar"? Kei Omar is a more ambiguous language. "So Hashem has said." "Zeh hadover," this is what Hashem said. This is more explicit. So the Chazal explain all of the prophets who did not have such a clear prophecy as Moshe. So they used the expression of "ko." "So Hashem said." But Moshe, who had the clearest prophecy of all, Aspaklaria de Meira, that he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face. So therefore he said, "Zeh Adover." This is what Hashem said. But on that is the question. The Gurai asks it over in Parshas Matos. If that's the case, so why here did Moshe say, Ke'omar Hashem? So Hashem said. If his prophecy was always so exact. Now the answer to this is gives us a very important principle. When Moshe prophesied the Torah, the laws of the Torah, he used the word Zeh. That's what Moshe is speaking about over there. Here, he's not coming to prophesy the laws of the Torah. He's coming to prophesy supernatural miracles which took place in Egypt. Like the Makas Becheres, smiting of the firstborn. The prophecy that Moshe had of the Torah, that was exact. That was in perfect clarity. Because the principles of the Torah are always, are tomid, they're kavua. The Torah is the master plan of the world, how the world should always conduct itself. And Moshe prophesies the Torah. And he did it, therefore, in an exact prophecy. When it comes to supernatural miracles, Kodesh Baruch Hu saw that at certain times this was important. But this is not the way the world was made to conduct itself. This is not the norm. This is rather a deviation from the norm. And a deviation from the norm, no matter how important it was, is still not the way the world was made to normally function. And therefore that prophecy was not with the clarity of Zeh, of this. And therefore it was with Ko Amar Hashem. Now from this we learn a very great principle. Many people feel that if they see a phenomena, if they see something which is a deviation from the norm, that's something great. Really, it's to the contrary. The greatest miracles are the ways that the world functions and conducts itself every day. These are the greatest miracles. The fact that the sun comes up and the sun sets, the fact that there's day, there's night, there's life. These are the greatest miracles. And this is all in accordance to the structure of the Torah. And this is the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the Torah is his prophecy. And this is what he saw with a clarity more than any other prophet. But the deviation from this norm, even though it was the Makas Becheres, the smiting of the firstborn, this is not as great as the everyday carrying arms of the world. Sometimes it was necessary to bring this into the world. And therefore, Maisha's prophecy was with Ke'omar Hashem. So Hashem said. Then he said, at approximately 12 midnight, Moshe said that Hashem will come through Egypt to Meis Kol Bechor Be'eretz Mitzrayim, and he will kill all of the firstborns in Egypt. The Gemara in Masechta Brachos, Rashi brings it. Rashi brings part of it. The Gemara asks the question. The Gemara is and Dav Gimel Amud Beis and Dav Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara brings that it was the custom of Dovid HaMelech that he would get up at midnight. Chatzoi salaylo okum lahedis lecho al mishpatei tzidkecho. Tehillim kuf yutes. At midnight, I will rise up to praise and give you thanks because of your righteous statutes, your righteous laws. So therefore, Dovra Melech used to rise up at 12 o'clock at night, and he used to study Torah, and he used to say Shireis V'Sishboches. He would say praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He used to say, not like kings, that it was the way of kings usually to sleep late, but they would sleep they would sleep until a quarter of the day. Right? No, he would rise up at 12 o'clock midnight. Now the Gemara asks, then he says, the Me'ilam Le'ovar Alay Chatzosh Laila B'Shino. The Dovid HaMelech was able to say that never did he sleep past 12 midnight. Then the Gemara says, how did Dovid HaMelech know when it was at midnight? Dovid Mi'ava Yod Palga Delaylo Amos Hashd Amos. How did he know when it was? The Gemara means that if he said that Bachatzeis at midnight he would rise up, he means at midnight. Right. Doesn't mean 5 minutes before or 5 minutes after. So how did he know when it was exactly midnight? The Gemara says, Hashtu Meisha Rabbeinu Lo Havei Yodo Diksiv Kachatzeis Alaylo Ani Yetzi B'Seich Mitzrayim. We see that Meisha wasn't sure when midnight was, because Meisha told Pare, approximately at midnight, Hashem will come through this to smite all of the firstborn. Sigmund says, Meisha said approximately. Is that what Hashem said? Hashem surely knew when midnight would be, so Hashem wouldn't have said approximately. So it must be that Meisha wasn't sure, and that's why Meisha said approximately. Ilei Madom Alei Kutchi Brichu Kechatzeis Mikus Veke Kameshmael Ele Dom Alei Bechatzeis Vosio Vama Kechatzeis Alma Mesavkelei. Kodesh Baruch Hu must have said at midnight exactly, but Meisha didn't know exactly when midnight was, so he said approximately midnight. So we see Meisha wasn't sure when midnight was. So how did Dovid HaMelech know when midnight was? So the Gemara says, Dovid knew. Simona Havale, he had a sign. The Omer of Acha Bar Bizna, Omer of Shimon Hasida, Kino Har Yitoli L'mala Mimitose Shel Dovid, V'kiven Shigia Chatzeis Lailo Bo Ruach Tzfeinis V'Neshevis Boi. U'menagin Me'ilov, Miyad Haya Emid V'Esik B'teira She'ol L'amod HaShachar. Dovid would take his harp, and he would hang it in a certain position over his bed. And when exactly midnight came, there was a northern wind that would blow, and it would cause the harp to play. And immediately David would get up and start to study Torah. So according to one opinion in the Gemara, Meisha said approximately midnight because he wasn't quite sure when midnight was. Therefore he said approximately. There's a second opinion. Zero Amar Meisha Leilam Havayoda. V'Dovidami Havayoda. Meisha knew exactly when midnight was. Meisha knew enough astronomy to know exactly when midnight was. And Dovid HaMelech also knew enough astronomy to know exactly when midnight was. So the Gemara says, so what did Dovid need the harp for? Okay. If he knew. Laturi Mishnose. He used the harp merely to wake him up. But he knew exactly when midnight was. So now the Gemara asks, if Meisha knew exactly when midnight was, so then why did Meisha say Kichatzeis? Approximately midnight? Ksovar Shema Yitu Itztagnine Pare Vayemru Meisha Badoihu. Meisha knew that Hashem would come exactly at midnight, and that's what we see later. Vayhi Bechatzi Alaylo, exactly at midnight. But Meisha was afraid that if he would tell Pare that at midnight there would be the Makas Becheiris, perhaps their calculations are not exact. And according to them, when it's 12 o'clock and the plague did not take place yet, so they think I'm a liar. And we've learned, the Gemara brings, Dom Amar Lemeid L'Shein Chalei Meirin En Yodea. A person should always teach himself, he should train his tongue to say, I don't know. Rather to say something that he does know, and he finds out that it's not exact. because maybe he'll be caught to be saying something which is false. So rather than having the atzdigne gine paray think that Moshe said something that's false, therefore he said kachatzei shalayla. Kachatzei is approximately at 12 o'clock. This is what the Gemara brings. Now we can ask a question. What was Moshe's problem? He was afraid that if he would tell them at 12 o'clock, according to their calculation, it would be different. Now let's see. Let's say that their calculation was earlier than Moshe's. See. Let's say their calculation was that when it was really 12 o'clock in reality, let's say their 12 o'clock came before. So then accordingly the Makkah would come early. If the Makkah is supposed to come at 12 o'clock, and according to their clocks, that'll be at 5 or 10 minutes to 12, so the Makkah will come early. So what are they going to say? Maisha is a liar. Here a Magefa came through that killed all the Becheris, and it came 5 or 10 minutes early, so they're going to claim that Maisha is a liar. He said it would be 12 o'clock, and it came 5 minutes to 12. See? So we can't be speaking about that. So what was then the problem? He was afraid that maybe their 12 o'clock would come before the real 12 o'clock. So therefore, when it was 12 o'clock on their watches, and it's not yet really 12, they'll say, it's 12 o'clock, and the Makkah hasn't come yet. See? The bomb hasn't gone off yet. Moshe is a liar. So still, what's the problem? Let them wait 5 minutes and the bomb will go off. So what is the problem? If it comes earlier than expected, they're certainly not going to say that Moshe is a liar. Elamai will come a few minutes later than expected. So they'll see that Moshe is telling the truth. So what would Moshe worry about? So Rashi explains, Rashi explains that the problem was that they were afraid that before the real midnight would come, they will think it's midnight. They die in Lebo Amaka, and the Maka has not come yet. And they'll say that Moshe is a liar. Therefore, it's better to say, I don't know. But maybe when it's really 5 minutes or 10 minutes to 12, and on their clocks it's 12 o'clock, and the Makkah hasn't come yet, they'll say, it's 12 o'clock, and Moshe said it would come, and it hasn't come. He's a liar. This is what Moshe was afraid. But we asked, so they'll wait 5 or 10 minutes, and the bomb will go off. They'll see Moshe's not a liar. So what do we see from here? We see from here that the whole chashash, the whole worry, was that 5 minutes. That maybe they will classify Moshe as a liar, that he said a falsehood during that span of 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, they'll know that's true. But during that span of 5 minutes. And that's what the Gemara says, that la'elon, a person should be lame l'mach l'shein ha'le'meri yadeh, teach himself to say, I don't know. In order that you shouldn't say something which you're caught on that's not exactly true, and people will think you're lying. Ramotel Ketz tells the Rosh Yeshiva, just to say from this Gemara, you see from here how careful a person must be that when he says something, it should not look false, even if it's going to look false for a few minutes. Even if afterwards it's clarified it wasn't false, this also he must be careful with. Because this was Moshe's whole fear. And because of that, he didn't repeat over what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said b'chatzeis halayla, at midnight, but he said approximately midnight, in order to clear himself from any possible accusations. So this is how careful a person must be, and rather say he doesn't know than to bring himself into possible accusations. Umeif kol bechor be'eretz Mitzrayim. All of the firstborn in Egypt will die. Mi bechor parei ayeshiv al kisoy ad bechor ashivcha sheachay rochoyim bechol bechor behima. From the firstborn of Pare, who sits on the throne, until the firstborn of the maidservant, which works under Echayim, which works on the millstone, and all of the firstborn of the animals. The later on, when the plague was actually brought, it says, this is a little later on, says that the firstborn of Pare until the firstborn of the Shvi, until the firstborn of the prisoners were all killed. This is what the Torah tells us later on when the plague was actually brought. So the question here is here Mesh is telling them that the firstborn of Pare until the firstborn of the maidservant will be destroyed. Later on we see that the firstborn of Paro till the firstborn of the prisoner was destroyed. Why the change? So, and that the Gurai answers. Because here he's warning Paro. When he warns Paro, so he only said from the firstborn of Paro until the firstborn of the maidservant. Because that's all they were interested in. They didn't want these people to die. The maidservants, the firstborns, they also didn't want to die because they served them. But as far as the firstborn of the prisoner, that didn't bother them. What does it bother Pare and the Egyptians if the firstborn of the prisoners would be killed? So therefore in the Hasra, the warning, you only encompass that much. But the actual plague encompasses even more. See, the actual plague encompassed from the firstborn of Pare to the firstborn of the shivch of the maidservant, and all the way to the firstborn of the prisoner in the dungeon. V'hoi so tzo'aka gedola b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, and there'll be such a great cry in Eretz Mitzrayim, asher kamei elei niyosa kamei elei seisif, like there never was before, and there never will be. U'lechol b'nei Yisrael le'yechatz kelev l'sheinai, and to all of Israel, a dog will not open his mouth. The mishvat behima, for man to animal, the manteidun asher yafla Hashem ben Mitzrayim uvein Yisrael. And here they will see the wonders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a magefa. He brings the malach hamavos, death, a plague of death throughout the entire land. But only the Egyptians will be affected, not Yisrael. So they will be distinguished. We mentioned not long ago, the Gemara brings that on the fact that the dog will not bark or open his mouth. See, actually, the Gemara brings in another place that Kelev Tzeakim Malachamoves Bolir. When you see dogs are barking, the Gemara brings that's if there is no practical reason why they're barking. Someone's creeping around, so you don't have to look for other reasons. But if you see a dog barking and there's no logical reason why they should be barking, so the Gemara says it's because Malach HaMoves Bolir. The Malach HaMoves, the angel of death, has come. And the dogs can sense it. Animals were given a sense higher to see things that people do not see. The reason for that is, the Gemara says, is because if people would see these things, Shematitar Daitai. If an animal that does not have seichel sees these things, it doesn't bother him that much. But if a person would see these things because of his seichel, because of his intelligence and sophistication, could affect him. So therefore, Ishus Nitno Lebehema Vachayas, they were granted permission to see things which we cannot. Now here the Malach HaMoves was coming to the city, so certainly they should have barked. So it says no, they will not bark. By the Egyptians they'll bark, but not by Bnei Yisrael. They will not make one bit of noise. So we brought not long ago on a Shabbos where the Gemara says that the Torah tells us that when you shecht an animal and it becomes a trefa, you can't eat it. What should you do with it? It says, "La kelev sashlichu naisoy, You should give it to the stranger, to the non-Jew, or you should give it to your dog. So the Gemara asks, the Chazal asks, why? This is a Mechilta in Parshas Mishpatim. Why should you give it to the dog? Give it to the dog, give it to the cat, give it to some other animal. Why is it singled out the dog? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not withhold reward from any creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name on Leshalem, he pays everyone exactly what is due to them. And since the dogs kept this command, where they did not open their mouths to any of the Bnei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to reward them. And the reward was is that he told Jews if they have a treifa and they're going to give it to an animal, they must give it to the dog first. V'yodu chol avadecha eile eilai v'ishtachvu li lemor tsei ato v'chol oma shibaraglecho v'achrechein eitze v'yetze mimpari b'chori of. Moshe said to Paro, and all of your servants will come down to me, and they will bow to me, and they will say, go, you and the whole nation, go out of here. This is what Moshe told Paro. In other words, you say that we cannot go, and you say that when I'll see you next, you'll put me to death. It's going to be just the opposite. That after HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings this makkah, then all of your servants will come down to me and they'll bow to me and they'll say, you and your entire nation go out. Now here Rashi brings a Gemara in Masechta Zbochim, interesting the Gemara, that really Moshe should have told Paro. He should have said that not only all of your servants but you also, because later on we see that when the makkah actually took place, so the first one to get up and to run through the town to look for Moshe to send him away was Paro himself. This is what the Torah tells us later on in the parsha. So Moshe should have said to Paro, "Vayokem Paro Lailuhu." This is a posik on Lamed, posik Lamed in Shmei Shud Beis, that Paro got up and he led his servants. So Moshe should have said, "You will come and bow to me," but Chol HaKovod LeMalchus. He gave honor to the Malchus, that since Paro was still a king, he wanted to give him honor. And it's brought other places that Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you must give honor to him. The Gemara brings in this, and in Zvochim, Daf Kuf Beis, Omer Rabbi Yannai, Le'elam Tehe Emus Malchus Alecho. Rabbi Yannai says that Le'elam, no matter what position a person is in, you must have respect and fear for the Malchus, for the monarchy, or for the government. You have to show respect and fear. Because we see even by Paro, in such a situation where Moshe was his arch enemy now, and Paro had threatened Moshe, still Moshe showed him respect and fear. He brings this. Because it says, "Dixiva yodu kol avadecha ila elai," all of your servants will come to me, ve'ila ledidei lekomale. And he didn't say, you also will come and bow to me. So that's another important principle. Here the Sedra interrupts now to start teaching us the laws of Chodesh Nisan, the Rosh Chodesh, and the laws of the Korban Pesach. Now later on it continues. The Torah tells us, this is in Shmeis Yud Beis, Pasuk Chof Aleph, Vayikra Meishe Lechol Zikne Yisra Vayim Aleihem Mishku Kechul Lachem Sein Lemishpecheisecha Mishachatu HaPosach. That Moshe called to all of the Zekanim, the elders, and he told them, take your korban, take the sheep or the goat, and shecht it for the Pesach. V'kachtem agudis ezev, And you should take this plant, this bunch of azef, and you should dip it into the blood. They had no altar, so the blood was not put on the altar like it was during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, during the time of the temple. And you shall put it on the mashkef and shtei mezuzos on the archway, on the two side posts of your door. And you shall not go out of your house until morning. That night they ate the korban Pesach. See, they shechted the lamb or the goat. This was the night of Erev Pesach. And they ate the korban Pesach. They made a Pesach Seder. And do not go out this night. Why? Given Shaniten Rishus Lamashkis. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given a decree that there should come death to all of the firstborn. And once there's such a decree, so it's very dangerous to go out in the streets. He made a condition that those that will be in the house and there will be blood on the doorposts, so then the decree will not affect them. But those that will go out on the street, it will be very dangerous. Moreover, Hashem Lin gave us Mitzrayim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu will pass over to bring this Magefa to Egypt. And he'll see the blood on the archway and on the two doorposts. Hashem Pesach Hashem Now, Pesach has two explanations. Either Hashem will skip over, or Chemla, he will have mercy on the people of that house, because he sees the blood on its doorposts, and he will not allow the mashkis, he will not allow destruction to come to this house. Then, in Pesach Chavtes, it was exactly at midnight. Vashem hikol kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and he smited all of the firstborn in Egypt. From the firstborn of Pare, who sat on the throne, until the b'chor hashvi, to the firstborn of those that was in the dungeon, asher be'beis habor, and all of the firstborn of the animals. Vayokom Pare lailohu, and Pare himself got up. V'chol avadov v'chol Mitzrayim, and all of his servants in all of Egypt. V'ati tzokik deilim b'mitzrayim, and there was a great outcry in Egypt. Ki ein bais asher ein shom meis, because there was no house that death didn't come to it. So the Chazal tell us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the firstborn of Egypt, he killed both the firstborn of the mothers and the firstborn of the fathers. So many times there were many firstborn in one household. There were firstborns of mothers and there were firstborns of fathers. Sometimes a mother had committed adultery with several people and she would have had three or four children and they all died because one was her firstborn and the others were firstborn from other fathers. And if there was a house that didn't have a firstborn in it, then Godla Habayis Mason, the oldest one died. And if there were firstborn of Egyptians in other lands, they also died. Firstborn of Egyptians living in the Jewish areas, they also died. So there was a tremendous tzo'oko, and that's why they thought, see, that we're all going to die. This was all this Moshe had prophesied. Pare himself came down, and together with all of the other servants, and they went chasing after Pare, after Moshe, in the middle of the night. And he said, "Kumu, get up, sumi techami, go out from my nation. Gamatem you, Gabane Yisrael." He said, "Everything that I said, I rejected. I didn't want you to go, you go. I didn't want the Hebrews to go, they should go. Lohu ivdu es Hashem kidaberchem, and go serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your God, like you wanted to. I said that you shouldn't take your sheep or cattle, gam seinchem, gam bekarchem kichu. You take all the sheep and cattle, kasher dibartem, like you said, not like I said, balechu, uveirachtem gamesi. Moshe prophesies, you will also give us, I will also give you. Vatechazak mitzrayim alaom, lemare lashalcha min oretz, ki omru kulon amesim. And the nation went and started to try to push, to pressure Israel to go out. Because they said kulon amesim. Why did they say kulon amesim? Because they said that more is happening than Moshe prophesied. He said the firstborn would die, and we're all dying, because we see there are so many dead in every house. See, they didn't understand what that reason was. Actually, the Gemara brings that Klal Yisrael won't leave, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that they can't go out that night. And when it came to Moshe, so Moshe said, "V'chi ganovim anachnu? What are we thieves that we're going to leave Egypt in the middle of the night? No, nothing doing." He says, when we walk out, we'll walk out in broad daylight. So therefore, they did not leave that night. They didn't go until the next morning. And that's why it states, B'yod Ramoh. See, they went out with a high and haughty hand where everyone could see them. They weren't going to crawl or sneak out of Egypt. And, B'yisoam es b'tzeku terem yechmots. They had their dough, and it was not chometz yet. And they were carrying it on their shoulders, and they did like Moshe said. And they took from the Egyptians the silver and the gold utensils and the garments. And Hashem gave the favor of the nation in the eyes of Egypt, and they gave them. By Natsulas Mitzrayim, and they emptied out Egypt. And this was to fulfill the prophecy to Avraham Avinu. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Kaddish li kol bechor, sanctify for me every firstborn. Pete kol recha b'vnei Yisrael b'odem v'him elihu. The firstborn which frees comes through the womb first of b'nei Yisrael, of the odom of a person and of an animal, lihu, shall be mine. And then, a little further, the Torah tells us. It states, Vavata, this is in Pasuk Yud Beis, Vavata kol peter echem Hashem. The one that comes from the womb, this you should give to Hashem. Called peti shega behema, if it's from an animal, if it's from a kosher animal, a kosher domesticated animal, the cattle from the sheep, then the firstborn was given to Hashem, it was given to the kohen. Asher yiloch al azuchorim l'Hashem, if it's a male. The chol peti chamo atif tevisel. Now, the firstborn of a donkey also was sanctified. And this is the only non-kosher animal which was sanctified with this halacha firstborn. What did you do with the firstborn of the donkey? See, the firstborn of the kosher animal was given to the kohen, and he took it, and he made a sacrifice out of it. Took it to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mizbeach, made a sacrifice, and then he and his family ate from the meat. But from the firstborn of the donkey, what could you do for it? You couldn't bring it as a sacrifice, because only a kosher animal was brought. So, this you should redeem with a kosher animal, with a sheep, or some kind of kosher animal. You must give the animal to the Kohen, and then the Kohen did what he wanted with that. And then you were allowed to keep the donkey. If you wouldn't do this, then you had to kill the donkey. And the firstborn of all people, if it's a male, you must be tifte, you must redeem it. You must redeem it with chamesh shloim. This is pidyon haben. You give the 5 shkolim to the 5 silver coins you give to the kohen, and then he's redeemed. Now, and when your children ask you in a future date, why are you doing all of this? You shall tell them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take us out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, with a strong hand. It wasn't easy. Pharaoh wouldn't let us go. And when Pari hardened his heart and he wouldn't let us go, Vayarig Hashem kol bechor be'eretz Mitzrayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu went and killed all of the firstborn of Egypt. Mivechor be'odem ad bechor be'ema. From man to animal. Okay, and he said, Hashem kol peterecha mazuchorim. So because of this, in remembrance of this, therefore, I take all of the firstborn of the animals. I take and give them for a sacrifice. Behold, Bechor Bonai Efter. And the firstborn of the children I redeem. And then it states, Voyeleis Ayatcho Letotavais Beininecho. And this should be a sign on your arm and between your eyes. Because of the four parshas which are written in the tefillin, one of the parshas is this parsha. The parsha of the firstborn, because the tefillin of Azecha Yetzias Mitzrayim are supposed to remind us every day of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the integral part of the Yetzias Mitzrayim was the Makas Becheres. And the parsha of the firstborn is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu smited the firstborn of Egypt. So therefore, that is placed in the tefillin. So these are the psukim which refer to this Makas Becheres. Now, it's important to note that the Makas Becheres was the 10th in the final plague, and it was considered equal to all of the plagues. Rashi brings in Parshas Va'eiro, in Va'eiro Tes, Rashi says, Kodesh Baruch Hu in Va'eiro Tes, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Moshe went to Parai and he said, Ki b'pam azeis ani shaleach es kol magefei Yisrael. This time I'm going to send to you all of my wonders. Bavur teida ki ein kemeni b'chol oretz. In order that you should know, Pari should know that there's no one. Pari was the kafir, he denied the Almighty. In order that you should know that there was no one like me. And this is speaking right before Makas Borod, the hail. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I would bring it now. But ulam bavur zeise maraticho bavur aheisches keichi leman sabishmi b'chol oretz. But I'm holding it back, because if I bring it now, it will finish you off. I don't want to finish you off yet. I want to show you more wonders that you can. Everyone will talk about it. See? So he calls this HaKadosh Baruch Hu, referred to the Makas Becheres, says kol magefeisai, all of my wonders. Rashi brings leman mikan she Makas Becheres kula keneged kol makas, that the Makas Becheres was equal to all of the other makas. So it was the 10th, and it was equal to all. And it finalized everything, because the Korban Pesach is eaten on Pesach night. Why is it eaten on Pesach night? To celebrate the Cherus, to celebrate our freedom. But our freedom actually wasn't until the morning, because it states, the Gemara brings, B'yem Tzeischem, and the day in the morning they went out, so our freedom wasn't until morning. So why do we eat the Korban Pesach and we make the Seder and the Matzis, Be'erev Teichlu Matzis, the mitzvah of eating Matzah at night? So the answer to this is, the Maral brings, is because we were set free at night. The reason why we left in the morning is because we didn't want to leave before. But Parei got up, Vayokom Parei Balaylo, Parei got up at night, and he told Moshe, go. See? So we were set free at night, and this is why the Korban Pesach is eaten at night. Because that's when the Geula, that's when the redemption came. Except in reality, we left Egypt in the morning. And that was from this Makas Becheres. Now why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring this plague on Egypt? Why did he choose to bring this plague? So this also is explicit. In Parshas Shemos, right after Hashem spoke to Moshe by the burning bush, and he convinced him to go to Egypt. Then he told him, He told Moshe, "Vamata el pare." This is in Shmeis Dalet, Pasuchov Beis. "Vamata el pare." Kei Amar Hashem. This is what Hashem has said. Bini v'chedi Yisrael. My son, my firstborn is Yisrael. V'omar eilecho shalach es bini v'yavdeni. Send out my son that he may serve me. But ma'in l'shalchei. And if you refuse to send him out, he ne'anechi heirig es bincho b'cheirecho. I will kill your firstborn. Your son, your firstborn. So the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Makis Becheiris on Mitzrayim is because you are persecuting my firstborn, because Yisrael is my firstborn. If you will not free them, then I will kill your firstborn. Therefore he killed the firstborn of Egypt. Now, to give a little more explanation in this, the firstborn is the beginning and the foundation. What comes later follows the firstborn and builds on that foundation. Now, by Egypt, as long as the plagues attacked Egypt at any other point besides the Haskola, besides the very beginning, the very foundation, the very source, so they were still able to stand up. And all of the other Hakos, all of the other plagues attacked Egypt at different points, so therefore Pare was still able to resist. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu attacked Egypt at the very source, at the very foundation, then they crumbled. So this is why this Makkah finally finished Egypt. Now Klal Yisrael is the firstborn of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he called Avraham the Rishon. Avraham was the first. Because all of the days, all of the generations, the 20 generations from the time of first man until Avraham, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have nachas from. He didn't have pleasure from, because they all went off in different directions. They didn't recognize him, and they didn't listen to him, they didn't serve him. So all Kol HaDeiros were failing Avraham Avinu. All of the Deiros became secondary, they became insignificant to Avraham. Avraham, when he was born, he established a foundation. He was the first one to establish a foundation, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to live by Hashem. And he gave this to his children. And that's why it says, Elu told the Shumayim v'Oretz v'Hiborom. These are the generations of the heavens and earth. V'Hiborom, when Hashem created the world, Hiborom are the Asias, are the letters of Avraham. That Bishpil Avraham Divra'ilam. But because of Avraham, the world was created, because the previous generations did not fulfill the potential of the world, did not fulfill the purpose of the world. It was only when Avraham came on the scene did the world come to its ultimate potential, to its ultimate purpose. So he was the foundation. Amongst the nations of the world, his nation was the foundation. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Bini b'cheiri Yisrael." Yisrael, that's my firstborn. If you are going to persecute my firstborn, I will destroy your firstborn. Now, actually, the Chazal tell us Pare's son was the firstborn, as it states in the Torah, from the firstborn who sits on the throne of Pare. And it states Pare himself was the firstborn. That's why Pare was so afraid. And it's brought in the Chazals also that they had a great honor for the firstborn, the Egyptians. By them, a firstborn, they worshipped. So their Bechor was a Bechor, was a source for Avodah Zarah, for idolatry. And the Bechor, the firstborn nation of Klal Yisrael, this was the source for Kedusha, for sanctity. And this is what was in the balance here. You want to destroy the firstborn, which is the source of sanctity in the world, then I will destroy your firstborn. Now, the firstborn has a potential to be Kodesh, to be sanctified. Why? Firstly, it's the first foundation. Anything that comes later follows it. Something that a steadfast foundation, and it's something like this, it's in essence, it's not because it's following something. This is always a sign of a stronger Kedusha. Secondly, the firstborn identifies with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because what is the first? The first is the very beginning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, He is the very beginning of all creation. There's nothing secondary about Him. If we try to find everything in the world is a cause and effect, a cause and effect. If we find something, so something else caused it to be. Something else caused that to be. If we'll search for the ultimate beginning of creation, the ultimate source of creation, this is Anechi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord. Breishis Bor Elokim. I created all. I brought into being all creation. And that's why Anochi is with the Aleph. The very first letter of the alphabet. Every firstborn being the beginning, which others build on, identifies in a degree to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he has this potential sanctity. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kadosh li kol bechor. Sanctify for me all of your firstborn. Because when I came through Mitzrayim, through Egypt, in order to free you, so I killed all of the first, I brought a plague to kill all of the firstborn. And you were not killed because I elevated you. And I saved you. Therefore, you Kodesh. Kaddishly called the Chor, all of the firstborn should be sanctified. In essence, there is a potential sanctity, and the Almighty sanctified the firstborn because He elevated the firstborn to save them from this decree of the Mashkis, of destruction, and therefore He commanded Kaddishly as called the Chor. Sanctify the firstborn, and he gave special dinim relating to the firstborn of the people and the firstborn of the animals. Incidentally, even though by Egypt all firstborn were affected, but the actual sanctity of the firstborn in Israel went only on the firstborn of the mothers, not of the firstborn of the fathers, but the firstborn of the mothers. The Peterech, the one that would come through the womb first. The reason for that is because we are speaking here of the first in reality. The firstborn of the father is not in reality yet. It's only a potential. While the firstborn of the mother is in reality. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified. This, therefore, gives us some insight into the Makis Bechoris,
which was the 10th plague. It was equal to all of the plagues. It was finally the plague which brought Egypt and Pare to their knees. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it on Egypt because they were destroying Israel, which is the Almighty's firstborn. And because of this, while destroying Egypt, he elevated Klal Yisrael, and he gave Klal Yisrael the mitzvahs of Bechera, the mitzvahs of the firstborn. And then he commanded us that this should be placed in the tefillin, in order that we should always remember the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the miracle of the Makas Becheras. So here from these psukim we have some insights into this parsha, and we should be zecher to learn from this and to see the great nisim which took place in Egypt and the kedusha that was given to Yisrael, because all of Yisrael, when we compare Yisrael to the other nations of the world, so all of Yisrael is a firstborn because they are the foundations of all of the nations. In Yisrael itself, though, the firstborn have an extra degree of Kedusha, which came from this parsha. We should be zeche to see this sanctity of Yisrael continue to grow.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.